Well, the football season is upon us, and in Wisconsin, that means tailgating. Larry Mueller here, our guest today, to talk about grilling outdoors and tailgating. Our nationally recognized grillologists, Mad Dog and Merrill, they entertain and educate grillers through their personal appearances, through their TV show and their cookbooks. Today, they're going to tune up your tailgating skills, among other things. What kinds of foods do you like to have at your parties and your tailgate parties? What questions might you have about grilling? I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email at talk@WPR.org or post a question, and maybe you've got a nice grilling photo on our Facebook page. Just look for the Larry Mueller Show. Mad Dog, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Larry. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and Merrill, it's always always a pleasure to hear your voice as well.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's great to be on the show again.
Well, I tell you what, let's zero in a little bit on tailgating first. What's wrong with the average tailgate party?
Well, you know, the big thing for the average tailgate party is now we're into the thing is that, you know, the whole grilling industry has just boomed, is that you want to go ahead and have a lot of different types of items to go ahead and serve to your people. So we're away from the typical hamburgers and brats. I mean, obviously, we're getting into the old grilled chicken sandwiches. We're getting into fajitas, a whole array of different grilled vegetables, a whole bunch of different appetizers. So it's just expanding more and more.
And so a great tailgate party includes lots of food then.
I want lots of food. I want a good variety, good choices.
And you know what I want, Larry? I want team colors. Honest to God, that's all I care about is that party. You better use gold zucchini squash, yellow zucchini, or green and gold zucchini squash, green and gold peppers. I want green and gold. I want red and white. I want team colors.
Well, what do we have that's red?
Red beautiful Spanish onions, those beautiful red onions, red peppers, white onions. You know, there's so many different great red things. It's unbelievable. Nice rare steak. Mmm.
There you go.
Well, what are you guys up to these days? By the way.
Oh, we're just sitting back and doing nothing, Larry, just like you.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
You know what we just did? We just honestly got over the weekend. We were at a all-night flea market in Wheaton, Illinois. Had a hoot of a time. It started at 3 p.m. and ended at 3 a.m.
Oh, boy.
And then we drove home. So Sunday, we got up at it was a 24-hour day. By the time we got home Sunday morning from Saturday morning, leaving Saturday morning, got home Sunday morning, it was a 24-hour day, and we're pooped little puppies.
And we had so much quality time together. That's
I love Merrill. I just love Merrill.
Oh, my goodness. That is a long, long day. Well, we've got questions, so let's go to the phones. John in Eau Claire has something for us first. John, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi there.
Hey, John.
Hey, I was calling in. I've been looking at these silicone vegetable grill mats for the grills. My neighbor has one, but both of us are a bit afraid to use it because I thought when that stuff gets hot, I don't know if I want chemicals in my food or what. What's the story with the grill mats?
Well, first of all, they're not, as a rule, they're not silicone. Silicone ones go in your oven. They work really, really well. Those are probably carbon fiber or fiberglass, and they're Teflon embedded. So make sure of the quality that you want, maybe a good carbon fiber one. And it withstands the heat for about 500, 550 degrees, 600. We've had a lot of great results with them, and I think they're wonderful to use. And if we get a chance to talk about grilled vegetables and kebabs and seafood on the grill, I use them all the time.
Okay.
And as a rule, they're a non-gaseous Teflon. They're good. They're a good quality. They're okay to use. Don't try to suffocate a grease fire with them, or they will shrivel up on you.
Okay, the one my neighbor had that he gave me, it appears to be coated in a rubber-type substance, but it says it's for the grill.
Yep, probably just a Teflon, I'm assuming. I assume a Teflon. It could be a rubber, a different coating, but the ones we see, grill mats, are, as a rule, they're a good quality Teflon embedded.
Excellent. Well, as long as you recommend them, I'll probably start using it then.
Well, given it, what kind is it? Do you know offhand?
I do not, actually. I'm on my lunch break from work, and it's at home in the garage right now, so I don't know what brand it is.
Yeah, but, you know, we just did, and John, thanks for the call in Eau Claire. And, by the way, you can watch our television show, half-hour show, Sunday mornings on your CW network over there.
Oh, cool.
So we appreciate it. Around 9:30 or 10 or somewhere in that neighborhood, I guess.
All right.
Yep, thank
I'll
you.
Check that out.
Thank
All right.
You.
Thanks, John. Talk about that TV program for just a minute before we go back to Lori in Oshkosh.
You know, the television show airs throughout all the state of Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Rochester, Duluth area up north. And it's as a rule, it's on the CW networks through all those networks. You can check your local listings. In Green Bay, it's on WACY 32. But it's a great fun show. I get any day I can make fun of Merrill on television is a great day, Larry.
Yes, it's just humiliating.
Well, I've watched it. It is fun.
Can I just say, last week we did film it, and your last guest was wonderful, very knowledgeable. We have good friends throughout the Native Americans throughout Wisconsin, Natal, and a few other ones. And we filmed the show with the United Nations last week. And it's so neat to find out their cultures and their past, and they represent and they go back into their history, and they really respect their culture. And some of the foods that we cook, like the Three Sisters and white corn, and we try to do fried bread and corn soup. Sometimes it doesn't turn out, but that's the fun of things, you know. It's just the knowledge that you gain from history. It's great.
Let's go to Lori in Oshkosh next. Lori, hi. Thanks for calling.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I just thought I would let you guys know that I am the president of the Oshkosh Rotary Club, and we are putting on a new event that has a lot of live demonstrations on grilling and smoking meat and stuff like that. And I thought that that would be a fabulous thing to let your people know that that's available to them to come to and have some demonstrations to learn how to do that stuff.
What is the date on that? I've seen that advertised.
Well, it's Wisconsin's Best Rib Fest, and it's held in Menominee Park in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and it's all Labor Day weekend. So we'll have demonstrations on how to do barbecue ribs and chicken, on how to do some savory brisket, and, of course, the pork shoulder and all that. And every single day we'll have different demonstrations to show people how to do that. They can come out. They can check it out. The National Barbecue Cookers Association will show them how to do the different things and answer all their questions, and then even let them taste some of the stuff that they'll be grilling.
Great. Hey, thanks, Lori, for the call. I appreciate it. You know, it's amazing, Larry, in the state of Wisconsin, the number of barbecuers and grillers and different associations, different clubs, different get-togethers. Wisconsin Barbecue Posse is one of them. It's just amazing how it's grown over the course of the years. And Merrill and I like to feel that we help kindle that because we've been doing it 35 years. Right. We love to feel that we're a little spark and a little catalyst there. We'll see what happens. But it is great to see groups like that getting together and doing more outdoor grilling and barbecuing.
Yeah.
You're really seeing Wisconsin becoming a really huge, huge barbecue state, believe it or not. The contests and things are just around Wisconsin is just amazing. But it has really grown in this state. It's unbelievable. We have a lot of great national champions that live right in the Wisconsin area.
Well, you guys are pros, so you probably don't participate in the contest. But you ever judge them?
You know, as a rule, we'll judge the lower key competitions, but most of them are certified out of like Kansas City and stuff, so they need to be professional judges also, because they take their barbecue very serious, Larry.
Very serious.
Oh boy, Lori, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call.
No problem, and thank you very much.
Yep.
Well, she mentioned briskets, and briskets can be a tough thing to. Well, they can be tough, for sure. But how do you guys work on briskets?
You know, that is the biggest challenge, I think, of anybody that really wants to get in barbecuing competition or do. Everybody somewhere has their own recipe for briskets, but you really want to slow cook a brisket around 225 degrees. You can put your favorite rub on there. A lot of people will remove what they call the fat cap, which is, you know, a layer of fat on the top of the brisket. I happen to like leaving mine on, but you're really supposed to take the cap completely off. You want to slow smoke the brisket at 225 degrees. You're looking at approximately smoking that at 1 hour for each pound, for sure. And what happens is a lot of people will cook that brisket, up to about 195 degrees and wrap it up in foil, and then place it in a cooler or whatever, even let that sit out for about 4 or 5 hours.
And why do you leave the cap on?
Mainly, I like it because I still think that the fat adds good flavor. There'd be a lot of people calling and go, no, you don't need the cap. And a lot of times, they will completely remove the cap. I just like the fat. A guy my size, you got to love fat.
You know, Larry, last week I did some, and speaking of briskets and beef, you know, pork ribs, and we'll get into those possibly, but beef ribs, I had some black Angus beef ribs, and they're just gorgeous, but they're full of fat, and they got a lot of cartilage in there, but they're full of fat. So one of the things that we don't necessarily preach all the time is par cooking, but I bought some lime ginger tea, the fresh tea that you would steep in a little steeper.
Yeah.
So I had ginger lime tea, and I par cooked those beef ribs with some carrot, celery, and onions in that tea with some water and beef broth, and par cooked them for about an hour to get them nice and shrunk down a little bit and soft. And then I threw them onto the grill, and I actually reinforced the flavor with lime and fresh lime, fresh ginger, some apple butter, and some barbecue sauce mixed together as a barbecue sauce to reinforce the flavor of the lime and the ginger again. And they turned out phenomenal. You only want them once in a while, maybe twice a year, but they were great. They were just phenomenal.
Boy, you're making me hungry.
Oh, God, they were good.
It sounds really good to me. Well, what about, I'm gonna switch. You mentioned corn, and that brought to mind corn.
Yep.
How do you guys grill corn? Do you grill with a husk on? And
you know, tradition has it, we leave the husk on and we submerge it in water. One of the things I found out, and we used to in the old days, take sugar and water together and submerge the corn of the husks on. Yeah, I'm going to put a plug in for good friends in Shawnee, Wisconsin, Sundrop Soda. They have the naturally bottled. They're the only ones left that have the natural sugar added to their Sundrop Soda. So I'll put a bottle or two of that in a gallon or so of water when I submerge my corn, and it brings out the sweetness. But a real quick, easy sweet corn recipe, and I'm going to ramble real fast, and I apologize. A sheet of aluminum foil, sheet of paper toweling, strip the ear, the husk, and the silk off the corn. Place the sweet corn at one end of that sheet of paper toweling with the aluminum foil underneath it. Put a puddle of red or white wine on that paper toweling. Drizzle a little sunflower or olive oil over the top and place in melted butter, or use melted butter. Squeeze a little lemon or lime. Dice up some garlic, add it to the top. Fresh oregano, basil, fresh dill, whatever you want to add for herbs. Then you roll that whole mess up in a paper toweling first, and then you roll it in reverse in the aluminum foil, and you fold and tuck the edges, and it's a medium direct heat for 12 minutes, turning it about four times. And when you unroll it, it just infuses the flavor gorgeously. And you can use, instead of the other liquids, you can use Italian dressings, Greek vinaigrettes, raspberry vinaigrettes.
And that sort of thing. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break for a look at the news, you guys. Hang in there. We'll be back with Mad Dog and Merrill right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at grilling today. We've talked a bit about tailgate grilling, but we can answer your grilling questions, or love to hear your own advice or favorite things that you like to grill as well. Give us a call as we visit with grilling gurus Mad Dog and Merrill at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And well, the sweet corn sounded wonderful, and it went over well.
The sweet corn did go over well, and there's other ways to do corn on the grill, too. You know, and, we'll strip it all the way down, glisten it with a little oil, and just season it up. And then people just throw it right on the grates of the grill that way and char the individual kernels directly. And that turns out lovely, too. But, you know, apples are coming in season right now, and there's nothing better on the grill than slightly cooked apples. Not for days on end you cook them, but just about 15, 20 minutes. But I'll take apples, cut them into wedges, into quarters, just slice off the little pits, seeds a little bit, and I'll actually take a mixture of sugar, cayenne pepper, cinnamon, and nutmeg, blend that together, and just roll the little apple wedges individually in that sugar and put them in a Ziploc bag and shake them all together and just put them peel side down about 10 minutes or so before maybe a nice hearty salmon or maybe those beef ribs we're talking about or the brisket is done, and serve those as a side dish or maybe just as a dessert in a bowl with a scoop of ice cream or two, and they're just phenomenal.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. You mentioned brisket again, and we had a nice photo and note online from Daniel, who said, it was a great shot of a brisket. He said, my first shot at a brisket flat. I used oak lump charcoal with cherry wood, exposed for 4 hours. Then I wrapped it in foil 4 more hours. I finished over coals for 15 minutes to get some crust. Used only sea salt and pepper for seasoning, and it was as good as he's had ever had, including in Texas.
Well, that sounds good. I'll tell you, there's nothing wrong with good old salt and pepper, too. But I'm looking at that brisket right now. It does look absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice on the Facebook. By the way, you guys have online presence as well.
Yes, we do. You can go to maddogandmerrill.com on our website, and obviously we're on Facebook also.
And lots of recipes and cooking tips in addition to all your books.
Yes, absolutely. Sir. And also some of our half-hour shows there on there. It's kind of funny because I chose today because I have dogs in the house. I'm sitting outside in the garage, and I'm looking at a rubber chicken. Yeah, wait, listen. There he is.
That chicken's been squeezed so many times. People love rubber chickens, man. I'll tell you.
Well, Jeff in Tomahawk has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Jeff.
Hey. Hi, Larry. Mad Dog and Merrill, I got a question for you regarding food sticking to a grill. Certain types seem to, some chicken with their skin on, of course, and sometimes even like a ground chuck burger patty. I do use a spray made for the grill that you put on your food. I won't say what brand or anything. I was just wondering, is there some other technique? I mean, I bring it up to temperature, so it sears it. So, but a lot of times it tends to want to still stick to the grill. I was just wondering if you had any kind of hints on how to avoid that.
You know, Jeff, cuts of meat are getting so lean out there, and we do advocate oiling 90% of the meat products before you put them on the grill so they do brown up nice and hold their natural juices. And when I patty burgers, I'll put a little bit of oil in my patties, my hand, as I patty each one, and that seems to help, or a little brushing of coating of oil. You're doing the right job there, but cuts of meat are getting leaner and leaner. I find that 85% of my cooking, even with those burgers, I'll sear the meat product up where there's heat and move it over to a side where there is no heat and put the hood down and treat them as little roasts, and it just seems to cook them nice. And once you get a feel for the grill and a feel for each individual item that you're doing, the meat product stays moisture. So we try to add moisture, retain moisture in cuts of meat. We try to add oil or retain the natural oils or fats that are in the meat by doing that. And it seems to work out well, but you're doing a great job.
Okay, well, I appreciate the information.
All right. Thanks, Jeff, for calling. Let's turn to Peter in Madison next. Peter, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having the show. I love grilling food. I do ribs and get a lot of compliments on them. In a three-stage process, I smoke them in hickory, and then I roast them slow with a lot of moisture tinted in the oven for like 3 hours. But I like to throw them on the grill to sizzle the fat up and stuff. I just wanted your guys' advice on whether I should throw them on the grill before I roast them or after. Sometimes they get kind of soft and they break apart a bit on the grill with that kind of rough handling. What do you guys think?
I like browning them up right at the end where I will go ahead, smoke them a little bit, wrap them up in foil, place them in the oven or on the grill. Then at the end, I go ahead and brown them up and then put the sauce on. That's what I prefer doing that.
At the end, yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, that's my question. Is there a demonstrable improvement spending an extra dollar a pound for baby backs rather than regular regular ribs?
Oh, you know what? Baby backs are nice because they're really good. But, you take those daggone spare ribs, you can't go wrong with them. The price is good. Yeah, you got some extra meat and everything. I realize you got to cut the bone off at the top there. But I still like the spare ribs.
Thanks a lot for the show, fellas. I appreciate it.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling.
Yep.
You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. Love to hear from you. Back to tailgating for a minute. You do a lot of different foods on the grill. Do you do charcoal or propane when you do a tailgate like that?
You know, tailgates, it's kind of like, there is no right or wrong, that's for sure. The only issue is that's becoming a little bit more into play, and I've seen it because we went to the game on Thursday of last week, is that you need more time to get into the game. You know, there's a little more security, there's a little more backup. So if you have a small portable gas grill that you don't have to worry about the coals, and people are grilling things that take less time at the tailgate party rather than slow cooking, and, you know, they got to rush into the game a little bit because there is a little more security. It takes longer to get into the game. That's if you're at the game. If you're at home, I don't give a damn. Just do whatever you want.
Well, and then getting rid of the coals when you're tailgating.
Exactly.
Right.
It's just, what about, do you guys use lighter fluid ever?
You know, I'm really on the big natural charcoal, and I've been grilling with natural charcoal seriously for the last probably 2 or 3 years. So I use the natural starters, and it's once in a while, then I grill an event where I use lighter fluid. But I've been using the natural starters a lot more than using the lighter fluid.
And there's enough additives in those coals already, and I'm not going to shame the national coal companies, but. In the last couple of years, they've added so much junk inside the regular briquettes that it's just amazing how the way it burns your eyes, which is never done before over the last few years. So anytime you can use natural lump or things more natural, god dang, do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really amazing the difference of using the natural charcoal. And, you know, it takes a while to get used to. I mean, the people have got the Weber grill. It's going to take a while to get used to the natural charcoal, but you'll get a feel for the grill. Obviously, you got the Komodo-style grill. It's a piece of cake of using the natural charcoal.
Komodo, which style is that? Is that the eggs?
Right, just like the green egg, right, exactly.
Yeah, and all the other comparable ones. I almost said the word knockoff, and I shouldn't do that.
Do you like using those?
Oh, I love it. I'll tell you, it's really nice. I mean, there again, you can slow cook at 185, 225 degrees, and if you want to do a steak, so you can crank that baby up to about 725. 750 degrees. You could go ahead and smoke. You know, I've smoked briskets up to 21, 22 hours without adding any more charcoal to it. So, I mean, it's a great grill. I have no complaints about it.
Wow.
In the same realm, you know, the pellet grills are out there. They feed it. They're electrical as a rule. They're electrical grills. They feed the pellets into the system, you know, and people love them. They work nice. The side box ones are nice. The the upright bullet type ones, they do well. I don't, like there again, there's no right or wrong, but the Komodo style grills seem to be the hot item lately.
What do you guys do about cleaning your grills? What's the
What are you talking about cleaning?
Yeah. That's what I think it was John. I think it was John up there in Eau Claire talked about the grill mats. That's what they're for.
You know what? I mean, the big thing is you do want to clean out the grill. I think some people go to extremes, but you really want to make sure that your grates are completely clean. And you do want to clean the downside of the grill. If you got a gas grill, you know,
yes.
Turn your grill on for about 10, 15 minutes, shut it off, and get rid of all the gunk and the junk down at the bottom of that grill. You want to clean, but some people just really, really, really overdo it.
I don't do a lot, to be perfectly
honest. Right, exactly.
I've got my brush, and I've got some high heat from that charcoal, and I rub that brush in there and get rid of stuff. And
the times you do get a grease fire, you cuss at the time, but it sure cleans that grill out nice.
Yeah, there's, you're right about the gas grill. I learned that lesson the hard way by looking in the grill and seeing the gunk that had, accumulated.
Yeah.
And I turned it up to, I don't remember, pretty high, and just let it go for a while and took care of most of it.
It's the best way to do it.
When we were younger, we had skeletons in our closet. When we were old, we just have gunk in the grill.
You know, and I think a big thing that people got to realize that will help solve that is you want to preheat your grill first for about 5 or 10 minutes before you start grilling. But you know what? When you're done grilling, you know, leave that grill on for about 5-10 minutes because that will help relieve some of the gunk and everything down the bottom of that grill.
Jeff in Green Bay has something for us. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks. Great show. I was just going to suggest my wife is the grill master in our house, and she uses raw onion to clean the grill often that when she before we start grilling things.
That works really good.
Work pretty well, yeah.
So what, she just rubs the onion on the grill?
Yep. heats it up a little bit and rubs the onion, and it tends to clean things pretty well.
It does, and you know what? If you got a brand new grill that you're just trying to break in, or just maybe put together, or got delivered to you, when you fire that baby up, you know there's some things on there you want to fire off away a little bit. Take a raw onion and slice it in half, and put the onion portion, and just rub it on them top grates, and you'll get a seasoning on there also. So that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, I like that idea. So your wife does the grilling.
Yeah. I get a lot of ribbon for it too.
Well, you've learned how to get around that grilling process. You know, you're not a guy who likes it.
Yeah, I do more of the drinks and the beer and stuff.
Oh, okay, you're doing that stuff. Well, that's important too.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing, Larry. We do a lot of stage presentations, and I ask a few people, you know, who grills all year round, gas or charcoal. But I ask the ladies a proud show of hands of ladies that fire up the grills. And in our audiences, we're up to 75% or 80% of the ladies that are in the audience, no matter what numbers there are, they raise their hand each and every time. They fire up the grills. It's great.
That's wonderful. Well, you talked about vegetables earlier, and I want to go back. I love grilled vegetables.
Zucchini. You know, zucchini, right now we've got bushels and bushels of zucchini. Cut them into wedges, pickle-shaped spears. Roll them in a little Italian dressing. Roll them in Parmesan cheese. Toss them on the grill for a few minutes. Toast them up. Cut zucchini in large paddles lengthwise. Lightly glisten them with an oil and season them. And you brown each side of the paddle for 4 to 5 minutes on a medium direct. And then put a little pizza sauce, some pepperoni, some capers, some mozzarella cheese. Or maybe you go south of the border. Or maybe you do a Reuben on top of them. There's so many different ways to do zucchini on the grill. They're great. Potato wedges, take a baked potato and cook in the microwave about 3/4 of the way through, cool it down, and cut it into wedges and do the same thing as the zucchini. My favorite, though, I'm going to ramble real quick. Take a Wisconsin red, a nice salad potato, cut it in half raw, hollow out, like if it had a pit in the middle, hollow out a nice big pocket on both halves, and then oil them a little bit and season them. And just brown those up on the grill a little bit, those halves, and then turn it pocket side up. And now start imagining a hamburger in there, cooked up hamburger with cheese over the top. Maybe it's pizza sauce with pepperoni and those capers and cheese. And you can start filling that pocket with just about any little stuffing you want to, and then finish them off, you know, that way with the, you know, by the hood down for a few minutes to warm that back up. But those little pockets of potatoes become a neat little thing.
Oh, that does sound great. What do you guys, you know, I've got tomatoes coming out of my ears practically at home in my straw bale garden.
Yep.
What do you guys do with tomatoes when it comes to grilling?
We throw them at those guys that listen to rock and roll.
Right. Grilled tomatoes are great, you know. Give you some bruschetta, you know, slice some bread, rub a little olive oil on there, brown that up about 2 to 3 minutes on each side, but go ahead and take especially the great tomatoes out now, slice them up, grill them about maybe just one or two. You're just heating them up, top them on the bruschetta, maybe put some fresh mozzarella cheese on there, a little bit of basil. It's a great appetizer.
Oh, man,
I just cook. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting. I get so excited when I talk about tomatoes. We take tomato. I'll take a firm, nice, firm, fresh tomatoes and slice them in half, hollow them out, and then take fresh basil and feta cheese and garlic, and you know, do the same thing. It's an inside out. It's a stuffed tomato with feta and basil, fresh basil, and just slow cook them for a little bit. Then put a little maybe fresh grated mozzarella or something on top to make a topping. But it just comes out just delicious. Tomato, but you don't want to overcook the tomatoes. They get cooked through very, very fast. Same as those apple wedges.
Yeah, you need to have them on one of those grill mats, don't you?
Exactly right, and slow and easy. Just slow and easy.
Oh boy, this is really making me hungry. We were. You mentioned pork ribs earlier, and I want to go back to pork ribs because a lot of people like to grill pork ribs.
Oh, they're great. I mean, there's stuff that I think that's the number one thing that people really like that really want to take time and grill are obviously the pork ribs. So they're good. Definitely the baby backs, like we talked about earlier. Like doing the baby backs, but doing the spare ribs is just my favorite. Normally, I'll go ahead and put a rub on the meat first, even the night before. You know, create your own rub, put it in the refrigerator. Then the next day, I'll normally go ahead and brown the ribs up first, then wrap them up in foil, place them back on the grill, the indirect method of grilling. And if you want to do it faster, leave it on the grill for about an hour and 15 minutes, then unwrap them and then grill them direct and put your sauce on. Mm-hmm. They come out nice and tender.
You guys have some rubs of your own. You know, I like your grandma's spice.
Grandma Hazel.
Grandma Hazel's. I use that one a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's a coarsely ground herbs and spices, one of our spices. That's like the old-fashioned steak or Montreal seasoning. So it's like garlic, peppers, onion, fennel, celery, red pepper, green pepper, onion, sodium. But Grandma Hazel's is really, really good. Then we have a Grilling Magic, which is lower sodium garlic pepper blend and a seasonal. And all our products have our caricatures on them. So if you look for those two good-looking guys.
Yeah, real good-looking.
Well, I see your guys' faces practically every day when I open up the cupboard.
Well, that's good.
Grandma Hazel. Oh, boy. What about sauces? Do you guys have a secret barbecue sauce, or do you...
You know, we have our own sauce, but I tell you, the other night, which I forgot to, you know, I didn't forget, but, you know, mop sauces are very good, but this mop sauce is so simple, but I really enjoyed it. I did some chicken the other night, and basically, you know, did your basic rub on the chicken, use the rub that you want, but I used some dark coffee, but I went ahead and, normally if you would make 8 cups of coffee, I would double the amount of coffee in there. So I got a real strong coffee, but you use about 2 cups of strong coffee that's already, you know, percolated, regular 2 cups of coffee. And believe it or not, use about a half a stick of butter in there and some pepper. I use a tablespoon of pepper. You know what? Seems like a lot.
Yeah.
And some Worcestershire sauce. And mix that all up together and then add some ketchup. And you brush that on. There's no sugar or anything in there, so it's not going to burn, but it's a mop sauce. And the flavor was just phenomenal. I mean, you keep on brushing all the time because there's no sugar in there to burn in it all whatsoever.
And, you know, I've heard you mention coffee before, and I've never used coffee.
Well, we'll
Does,
take
do you get a do you get a coffee? What is it, a coffee flavor then that you wind
you
up with?
Really won't taste the coffee that much. You know, when we've done that before, people said, "Oh, I expected to taste the coffee," you know, but you don't. But the flavor is just there. You've got to try it.
And then you can take your favorite for a coffee rub, which is just phenomenal. Also, it's equal parts of brown sugar, equal parts of coffee right out of the canister, the pre-perk grounds. And your equal parts of your favorite herbs and spices, like Grandma Hazel's or that Grilling Magic, work real well. So it's equal parts of herbs and spices, equal parts of brown sugar, equal parts of coffee, the canister, blend it all together as a dry rub. And it's phenomenal over those briskets, those racks of ribs. It works on salmon. It works on steaks, pork. It's just wonderful on lamb. Racks of lamb, that coffee rub is phenomenal, and it just kind of coats or roasts as it cooks, and it's wonderful. It really adds a great flavor. And I've done tea rubs, which are phenomenal, that same chai tea or that ginger garlic one we talked about like 4 days ago when we started this show. I'll take equal parts of the fresh teas that you can find in the store, even gray tea or white tea or whatever, and then brown sugar and herbs and spices, and blend those all together, equal parts, and use a tea rub. And they just come out wonderful. You got to experiment. That's the key in life.
Oh, man, it sounds wonderful. Well, what are you guys, in the last minute here, what are you guys up to now? You got some events coming up?
We're going to be doing some fairs. We'll be at the Sheboygan County Fair. Coming up, you'll also see us at the Shawnee Flea Market. Coming up, we're doing a lot of private parties in the next couple weeks, a lot of open houses. Yeah. So, but if you check out our website at maddogandmerrill.com, you'll find where we're at, all out, where we're at and about.
And one last thing in the 30 seconds, what's your favorite thing to grill?
You know something, anytime you're outside with family and friends, it doesn't matter. It's like the team colors. It just doesn't matter. Just do it and be with family and friends and relax.
I tell you what, it's always a great pleasure to have you guys on. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you so much.
Oh, man. Mad Dog and Merrill, isn't it fun to have a talk with those guys? It's... they are grillologists. They host the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill Midwest Grillin'. They have several cookbooks out. You can go to their Facebook page or their website and take a look at what they've got. Lots of cookbooks for sure, and I think I've got most of them. Well, fun to talk with them. Just taking a look at what's up in store for us tomorrow, we'll be talking about how to plan and finance your family's college education dreams. So I hope you can join in for that. In the meantime, please stay with us. We've got lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and thanks for listening.